Words from our Gospel reading. This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I have always been fascinated by airports. Actually, now that I live a lot closer to one than ever before, that fascination has slightly changed into a little bit more of concern for the environment and, of course, noise, especially for those who live even closer than we do here. However, what I still really enjoy doing is watching people in the arrivals hall, watching that never-ending stream spilling through sliding doors, their eyes scanning for signs with their name on or a person who might be waiting for them. And then sudden recognition and visible transformation as people are greeted or hugged and welcomed. In that one place, in that one time, countless personal stories and timelines cross and meet before then going their separate ways again. It strikes me that the temple precinct in Luke's Gospel presents us with such a place and time filled with encounters. Dusty roads, awash with people going to the temple on feast day, noises and smells from animals being bought and prepared for sacrifice, traders and money changers, priests and Levites attending to their duties, and of course, the sound of prayer. Prayers, of course, were always said out loud. So much of what we read here is alien to us today. The notion of Mary's impurity due to giving birth and the need to sacrifice animals might seem cruel to us. But rather than a restriction, those 40 days of confinement, may I suggest, represent an early model of maternity leave, ordained by a gracious God to allow time to rest and recovery from birth before making the journey to the temple. And we do need to be careful before condemning animal sacrifice. The ritual only consumed some of the meat. The rest actually was eaten by the people, either in a shared celebration, joyful celebration before God, or it was used for the upkeep of the temple. Undoubtedly, our vast meat consumption today demands a rethink and far outstrips that of any animal sacrifice then. For the devout Jews, this sacrifice was a sign of dedicating a firstborn to God in gratitude and a sign of life, because according to their Torah, their law, the life is in the blood. As Christians today, we believe that Jesus, through his death, made the ultimate sacrifice once and for all, and so superseded the sacrificial system. But the message is the same. As we remember his death, as we encounter Jesus in bread and wine, he offers us new life in him. And so here, among this general throng of people, is a young, ordinary couple, Mary and Joseph, on their way to dedicate their baby son. Unremarkable in every way. No fanfare, no headline, no celebrity status. The affordable option of a pair of turtle doves or pigeons signifying their humble means. There is nothing which would mark either the parents or the baby as special. And why would a baby matter among the complexities of Roman occupation, Herod's narcissistic rule, and the corrupt and out-of-touch priestly elite? And yet, Simeon and Anna thought he did. Somehow, guided by the Holy Spirit, the paths of these handful of people crossed exactly at the right time there in the temple. They had been waiting and they were paying attention. They saw what all those around them missed. And Mary listens and she remembers. It is, of course, she who much later tells Luke all about this remarkable meeting. When two prophets came up to them to prepare them for the difficult road ahead, bringing them a message of salvation and of suffering. I suppose something similar could be said for the fans currently following the Six Nations Championship, hoping for salvation in spite of inevitable suffering. I think that might be, the suffering bit might be more true for the Italians at the moment, whereas I think Wales is well on the path to salvation, and I think we will wait to see what happens this afternoon. But of course, when the championship is won, the trophy is rightly more important than the opponent who is defeated, because winning is about the team, it is about their achievement. But triumph does not come without opposition, without pain and suffering. We often forget that Jesus' message of God's kingdom is more than a moral compass, more than kindness and compassion. His rule and reign challenges all forms of exploitation, of inequality and injustice. And if we think that applies only to others, we may need to think again. But his fight is not with us, which is why our fight should never be with others either, but with everything which causes us or others to lose their way, with everything which threatens God's image in us and his purpose for us. Rather than accusing us, Jesus becomes one of us. And as the writer to the Hebrews says, he becomes our brother, so that by his death he may set us free, even from the fear of death itself. His triumph is not for him, it is for us. And just for a short moment, a handful of ordinary people who are attentive and expectant are given a glimpse of God's salvation. But for now, Joseph and Mary leave Jerusalem. They return back home with their baby boy. None of the influential people of the day are any the wiser. For now, God is working out his purposes in obscurity and behind the scenes. So today, when we look at the news headlines, at the failings of people we trusted, when we come face to face with our own mortality, it is easy to miss the signs of God's presence. But he is at work by his Spirit in our lives and in our world. And as a wise person once said, always doing far more behind our backs than in plain sight. Maybe not the way we expected, but if we look for signs of his kingdom, we will find them and be filled with hope and praise, just as Simeon and Anna were. God bless.
Amen.